This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu al-atamman al-akmalani ala man ba'athahu Allahu rahmatan lil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatih. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. All praise is due to Allah. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the seal of the prophets and messengers, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon our prophets, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, and all the prophets and all the messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to mankind. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and a very warm welcome to each and every one of you who have joined us, whether you have joined us in this house of Allah, in this mosque, in this masjid, whether you have joined us online on social media, or whether you are joining us, insha'Allah ta'ala, through any other medium. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all steadfast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire and guide us to all that will bring about massive success in this dunya and massive success in the akhirah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and to bless our loved ones with remarkable and outstanding health. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. So tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to be discussing health, a very, very important topic that affects every single human being, whether they are Muslim, non-Muslim, whether they are old, whether they are young, whether they are a male or a female. This is a very important topic. And so when we look at ourselves as human beings and wanting to be the best version of ourselves, I believe that there are four areas that we really always need to take heed of and we really need to be mindful of in order to be the best version of ourselves. The first one is our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is nurturing our deen, nurturing our spiritual self, nurturing our identities as servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the first very important one, and we do this through ibadah, through having the correct belief, and all of those teachings that are encapsulated in 6,236 verses in the Quran, and through the thousands of hadiths and traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next relationship is the relationship with the people around us, our mu'amalat. After the ibadat comes the mu'amalat and our interactions with one another, our interaction and how we believe in our prophets and messengers, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our parents, our children, our spouse, our neighbors, Muslims, non-Muslims, animals. It's very important to understand what the boundaries are, what the standards are, how Allah wants us to deal when it comes to these relationships. The third area is when it comes to our wealth. We need to ensure that we make money, because money is what will help us, insha'Allah ta'ala, have the correct food and drink and shelter and get married and all those things that money does for us. And the fourth very important area is the area of health. That we understand health and that we understand how important it is to be very healthy. And subhanAllah, we know from our own selves having been sick, or the loved ones that we may have lost to sick ones, loved ones that we have lost to illness. We know how important and how it has a ripple effect when you are not the best version of yourself. If you are sick, you're going to be missing out on a lot. And so we need to do our best to become, insha'Allah, the best version of ourselves. And after that, we leave it with Allah Azza wa Jal. If He wants to test us with sickness, He will. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Okay, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ. He said that we are going to test you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to trial us in many ways. مخوف, from fear, ونقص من الأموال, the loss of wealth, والأنفس, life, والثمرات, provisions. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we will go through tests in life. And so sometimes, subhanAllah, we might be going through a test, but that's in our favor to get us back on track. So alhamdulillah, tonight inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to focus on this fourth area, which is health. And subhanAllah, we see today, the statistics are alarming with people having bad health. And we see that statistics have revealed that millions of people are eating their way to death. Over 30% of the world are either obese or they are overweight. And subhanAllah, the remedy for this, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, is knowledge and justice. So one of the things to remedy this is to have the knowledge, to have the ilm. To have that knowledge is very, very important. And that's at the root of all goodness, is ilm and adl, is knowledge and justice. And at the root of all evil is ignorance and injustice. So inshallah ta'ala, tonight you will, inshallah, we will be contributing and sharing some of our knowledge and some of our experiences in the area of health. Let's begin with a hadith that is found in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, that there are two blessings, two ni'am, that many people are wasting. They're not taking advantage of these blessings. And he said, they are health, as-sihha, wal-faragh, and the free time. So we need to take advantage of our good health. And actually, in another hadith found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he endorsed the statement of one of the sahaba, Salman, when he said to Abu Darda radiyallahu anhuma, he said, inna li rabbika alayka haq, wa inna li nafsika alayka haq, wa inna li ahlika alayka haq, fa'a'ti kulla dhi haqqin haqqa. He said, your Lord has rights over you. Your soul or yourself has rights over you. Your family has rights over you. Give each their due right. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Salman has spoken the truth. And in Al-Hakim, we have another hadith. An-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Take advantage of five before five. Take advantage of five things before five other things come about. And the first one, he said, your youth before your old age. So those of you who are youthful, and in Islam you're a youth between 15 and 33, and some even said 40. So if you are youthful, use that energy. Use that energy that Allah has blessed you with in the right way to set yourself up for good habits. Because once you're in the good habits, subhanAllah, those habits, in the beginning, they are disciplines. But once a discipline becomes a habit, it's no longer a discipline, it's a habit. So subhanAllah, let's get into the habits now, ourselves and with our families, insha'Allah ta'ala. Take advantage of your youth before your old age. Take advantage of your health before your sickness. Do as much as you can while you are healthy, for you never know when you are sick. And subhanAllah, in another hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when a person travels or he falls sick, he falls ill, he will have the reward of what he used to do, وَهُوَ صَحِيحًا مُقِيمًا, that he will receive the rewards of what he used to do when he was in good health and he was not a traveler. Meaning, subhanAllah, by virtue of your goodness during these easy times, when the tough times kick in, you're still going to be clocking up the hasanat and the reward by virtue of your habits, your good habits, insha'Allah ta'ala. Take advantage of your wealth before your poverty. Give as much as you can in terms of wealth, giving to the poor, giving to the needy, giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never know, you can lose it all one day if Allah wills that to happen. Take advantage of your free time before your preoccupation. Take advantage of your life before your death. And these are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we also learn a very important maxim of fiqh. That's an Islamic ruling, a very important one that is derived from this very hadith that is found in Sunan Ibn Majah. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, la darara wa la dirar. Let there be neither harming, yani darar, nor reciprocating harm. Don't do anything that's going to bring about harm to yourself or to others. And so, subhanAllah, it's very important then to try and learn about and understand what is it that can harm us in our physical body, what can harm our children, what can harm our family and friends. And so, subhanAllah, tonight's presentation about health has been inspired by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight's lecture is inspired by the words of Allah from Surah Al-Baqarah, that very beautiful surah, the second chapter from the Quran, verse 168. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan, innahu lakum aduun mubin. Allah makes a call out not only to the believers. Here Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. He says, O mankind, the address to all of mankind, male, female, Muslim, non-Muslim. He says, O mankind, eat from whatever is on the earth. Two conditions now he places. That which is halal, permissible to eat, and that which is tayyib. Unfortunately, many Muslims, or fortunately, many Muslims, they look for halal. That's a tick. That's a very good thing. But the unfortunate part regarding this ayah is that many of us are not looking for the tayyib. Tayyib in maybe colloquial Arabic slang is nice, tasty, tayyib. But when we look at the word linguistically, tayyib means that which is wholesome, which is good in and of itself and good for consumption. So yes, we may be looking at the ingredients. We may be looking at the ingredients on a package when we buy something, checking to see if it's halal. But equally as important, it is to be looking for whether the ingredients that are in there are going to do my body a favor or they're going to do it harm. We have a duty to do this as well as per this ayah. So let us now be more mindful moving forward in our lives of what is tayyib, what is good for us. Because what we don't know can actually be killing us. What we don't know could be actually causing damage to our bodies. So let us, insha'Allah ta'ala, be people of knowledge and not just blind followers. Let us do our due diligence. And one of the things that's important, if we can, especially in this day and age, when it comes to tayyib, is to eat raw food, is to eat as organically as possible, as feasible, okay? In this day and age, we know that fruit, that vegetables, many of them are sprayed with toxins, with pesticides. And so there are certain protocols to clean them in certain ways. But even better is to purchase those fruit and vegetables, insha'Allah ta'ala, that are raw, that are organic, that haven't been sprayed, so our bodies do not absorb the toxins. Now there are some fruits and some vegetables you can probably get away with not purchasing them organically, and that is things that have a hard shell, such as an avocado, such as a pineapple, such as an orange, such as a pomegranate, whereby that particular fruit or that veggie is not going to absorb the toxins that have been sprayed. We need to be intelligent, insha'Allah ta'ala, human beings, and we need to be thinking like this, insha'Allah ta'ala. And so a quick look on Google and search, and if you look at, for example, the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. If you look up Dirty Dozen on the internet, Clean 15, you will learn which fruits and vegetables to go for that are, you have to be organic, and the ones that are, you know, try and do your best to, يعني, you can actually purchase them, insha'Allah ta'ala. One of the non-Muslims of the past who studied health and knowledge about this area is Hippocrates, and he said something very interesting. He said, let food be your medicine. Let food be your medicine, and medicine be your food. So subhanAllah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us many, many healthy, good foods. We have been created from turab. We are the descendants of Adam. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, He created him from the very soils that we walk on. The very soils of this earth. And so we need the vitamins and we need the minerals that are found in the earth. And those vitamins and those minerals, much of them have been depleted as a result of commercialism, as a result of pesticides and toxins that are in the air and that surround us. And so this is why maybe we need to consider supplementation that we'll talk about in a moment, insha'Allah ta'ala. Let's look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the area of health. In Bukhari, we learn that the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were you a shepherd? He said there was no prophet who was not a shepherd. So that means to be a shepherd, you have to be quite fit. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very fit young youth. And so we know that he would go climbing, he would go hiking to the mountain of light, Jabal al-Nur, to enter into Ghar Hira. And so subhanAllah, for those of you to be in Hajj or to Umrah, you know how difficult that hike is. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go there. And that's where he received the first revelation. He would take off to Ta'if. Ta'if is also on a very high area. And it takes about 45 minutes by car. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to Ta'if. And in Sunan al-Nasa'i, we learn how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to travel to Masjid Quba. This Masjid Quba is on the outskirts of Medina. And he would go there every Saturday. And sometimes he would go on his riding animal. And sometimes he would walk. And then he would offer his two rak'at in Masjid Quba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever performs his wudu in his home, or in this day and age, his hotel, and he goes towards Masjid Quba and he prays two rak'at, he will have the reward as if he performed the umrah. In the hadith, we also learned that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had the strength of 30 men. 30 men, Allahu Akbar. And we know that from amongst the people of Quraysh was a man, was a wrestler, who wanted to wrestle the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the name of Rukana. And so one day he met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of the side streets of Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alone. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about 50 years old and Rukana was young. And so Rukana, he said, why won't, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, why won't you fear Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always made da'wah to the people he came across. Why won't you fear Allah and accept my preaching? And he said, if I know what you say is true, I would have followed you. That's what he said. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Rukana, if I can wrestle you, will you accept the truth? And then Rukana said, yes. And they began to wrestle. Picture this. An-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 50 years old. And he's wrestling who? He's wrestling a wrestler. Somebody who's known for the game. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw him to the ground. And so he said, do it again, Ya Muhammad. And he did it again. Do it again, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he did it again. And he said to him, this is extraordinary how you can throw me. He said, you were the most hated of men. And now, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. I bear witness that there is only one God worthy of worship, and that you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the servant and messenger of Allah. And this incident has been reported by Ibn Ishaq. And so when you look at the prophets and the messengers, you look at people like Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, Noah who built an ark. You look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and his son Ismail and how they built the Kaaba and they smashed the idols in their town. You look at Musa, he just pushed a man and the man died. SubhanAllah, look at the strengths. These are our role models, and they should be the role models of our children. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, we learn that in the hadith, I did not see anyone walk faster than him, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if the earth folded for him. We found it very difficult to keep pace when we walked with him, and he walked at his normal pace. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a fast walker. He would have foot races in the middle of the desert. His young wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, he's over 50. And he says to her, you want to race? And he races her. And she beats him in the race. Many years passed. And so Aisha puts on some weight and he has a race with her. And this time he beats her in the race. And so he was known, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to have a bulging stomach, but to have a flat stomach. SubhanAllah. And so subhanAllah, we find it's very important, therefore, to exercise. We are a very sedentary people of today. Much of our work
is on a computer. Much of our work is sitting down. We don't walk like they used to walk. We're not as active as they were. And so, subhanAllah, we know today, I'm sure if I asked the question, if there was a hamburger and a bottle of Coke and fried chips that were sitting on a chair, which one is the worst for your health? Any takers? Any takers? Hamburger, Coke, chips sitting on a chair, which is the worst of these for your health? Coke? Huh? Coke, anything else? Chips? Okay. The answer is...
Depends on the chips,
of course. It depends on it. They're fried in oil that is toxic and, very bad for your health. So the answer actually was the chair. The answer was the chair. Because see, those things, we can burn them off, we can repent, we can make tawbah from them, right? But the chair, we're always sitting on the chair, we don't move. It's very important that we have harakah. And as the saying goes, al-harakatu barakah. There is barakah. You know, subhanAllah, every Arabic word begins with a harakah. Every Arabic word, words don't begin with a sukoon, with a sakin. Okay, and so subhanAllah, very important. SubhanAllah, today, there are much, and I'm sure if I ask you this question, you'll be able to answer it. How many steps do they teach us in this day and age that we should be walking on average every day? How much? How many? Yes, somebody said that? 10,000. 10,000 steps, right? SubhanAllah, recently when I was in Medina, my hotel was not too far away from the masjid. It was actually one of the closest hotels, okay, to the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I had a watch that counted my steps. And all I did that day was go to the masjid and back. Masjid and back. And subhanAllah, by the end of the, and just maybe a few things, nothing yani heavy. And when I looked at my watch that night, I had done over 10,000 steps. If you perform Umrah, how long does it take to perform Umrah? An hour and a half? 2 hours? You get about 10,000 steps. So if you want to get 10,000 steps, it just means being mindful of walking about an hour and a half a day, maybe breaking it up throughout the day, insha'Allah ta'ala. So this is something you can think about. Today there are some sports or some exercises such as, and of course, whatever we say, it's good if you've got conditions in your body to seek the opinion of the people in the area of exercise, of health, that know about your condition, that can really, really assist you to make that right, informed decision. So that's my disclaimer, inshallah, before I mention the next thing. And that is, if you don't have the time to yani have long training sessions, there is a 4-minute workout that you can do every day. It's called Tabata. It's part of the high intensity interval training that is also in circulation. What does Tabata mean? It means you go all out for 20 seconds, any exercise, and you rest for about 10 seconds. And you do this 8 times, and your workout is finished. And subhanAllah, they found amazing results in athletes. Something that you can look up, insha'Allah ta'ala. Do it 2 or 3 times a week perhaps, and inshallah notice the difference. And so exercise, it helps release endorphins. Exercise will help you deal with your depression and your anxiety and your stress. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the son of Adam does not feel any vessel worse than his stomach. It is enough for the son of Adam to eat a few mouthfuls to keep him going or to keep his back upright. And if he must fill his stomach, then 1/3 for food and 1/3 for drink and 1/3 for air. And so subhanAllah, you notice that all we need is a few morsels. All we need is a few bites just to get us going, insha'Allah ta'ala. And so it's like in this day and age, you know, we live to eat instead of, subhanAllah, eating to live. And so we find in Sunan, or we find in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, although there is good in each. And so we always, as Muslims, striving to be strong in every aspect of our lives. We are balanced Muslims and balanced individuals. Now I want to share with you a very important statement by a great scholar, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He put it so beautifully. He said, the principles of sound health are three. The principles of good health are three. Number one, the preservation of good health. Yani, you preserve your health, meaning here by virtue of the nutrition, the good health, the good nutrition that you're going to have. Number two, by removal of the harmful substances from your body. So here he's talking about detoxification that we'll talk about in a moment. And then he's talking about keeping the body away from the harm. So there is what you put in your body, what you should be expelling from your body, and what you shouldn't even be exposing your body to in the first place. If you can understand this and implement this, insha'Allah ta'ala, you will find yourself by the permission and will of Allah Azza wa Jal in good health. So he mentions, for example, the first thing he said, by preserving your good health. And we said earlier, you can preserve your good health by virtue of exercise, by virtue of eating organic, by virtue of not exposing yourself to the harmful toxins. Some of the ways that also we can do this is by detoxicating. How do you detox? By simply going to the toilet, you're detoxing. By exercising and sweating, you're detoxing. By going into a sauna, you're detoxing. By fasting, siyam, regularly. Subhanallah, there are, in Islam, we have Ramadan, we have Mondays and Thursdays, we have 13th, 14th, 15th, known as the white days of every month. We have fasting the month of Shawwal after Ramadan, 6 days. And subhanallah, we now learn through research and through science, and in more recent times, the virtues and the benefits of fasting. Like what? Like it can cause neurogenesis, which is the formation of new nerve cells by increasing the brain-derived neurotrophic factors, improvement of the hypocampus, this is the GPS of the body, protects against plaque formation, increase insulin responsiveness, thus correcting the insulin resistance, decrease blood pressure and cholesterol, reversing that depression. And today, subhanallah, they have one diet, it's called the 5-2 diet. Meaning, out of the 7 days, eat what you want, more or less, good food, but 5 days and 2 days fast. Whereby you only have one meal that day that doesn't exceed about 500 calories. Does that remind you of anything? Siyam, maybe Mondays and Thursdays? And now there's a big craze, and that's called intermittent fasting. And intermittent fasting has become very, very popular. It's something that I personally love, and many people around me have tried it. And it is amazing to add to our fasting as Muslims. What is intermittent fasting? It means that you fast for about maybe 12 hours, 14, 16, 18 hours a day, and you only give yourself a very small window of eating. And that whole other day you're fasting, and then some schools of thought say you can have some coffee, but no milk, nothing that's going to raise your insulin. And other schools of thought say, no, don't have anything at all, even better, which is true, because that's how we do it as Muslims. Now I want to move on to talking about nutrition and meat. We find in the hadith that is in Tabarani and Bayhaqi, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullahu ta'ala said it is sahih. He said, the milk of the cow contains healing, shifa. Its fat is a medicine. And then he said, and beware of its meat, which causes sickness. Beware of the meat, it causes sickness. But it's also been authenticated from the Prophet ﷺ during the Hajjatul Wada, the farewell pilgrimage, that he sacrificed a cow for his wives. But at the same time, in another hadith, he's saying that it causes sickness. So how did the scholars reconcile between these two narrations? This, they said, the intention behind the prohibition of cow's meat is only referring to consuming large quantities of red meat. Not that it's haram to eat red meat, but you need to be careful how much red meat you are eating throughout the week. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu wa arda, he said, beware of meat. It has addictiveness like the addictiveness of wine. You can get addicted to meat. And Umar, radiallahu anhu wa arda, during his khilafah, he prohibited people from eating meat 2 days in a row. You cannot eat 2 days in a row. He only allowed them to eat it every other day. Now we move on to another hot topic, and that is fat. The fat of animals. Is it good for you? Does it cause cholesterol? How much of it can you have? Can't you have? And this has been for a very long time. Many of the doctors and the scholars in that area have actually come out and said it's the fat that causes the cholesterol. Recent studies are reversing this and making amendments to this. Now, it's very interesting because there's a very interesting verse in the Quran that is found in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 146. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Jews and punishing the Yahud, punishing the Jews. And he says, and to those who are Jews, we prohibited every animal with claws, and of the cattle and the sheep, we prohibited to them their fat, except what adheres to their backs or their entrails, or what is joined with the bone. By that we repaid them for their injustice, their rebellion, and indeed we are truthful. So here, because of their rebellion, because of their injustice, Allah wants to punish them. How does He punish them? By saying, you can't have fat anymore, and the only fat that you're allowed to have is whatever is sort of stuck already to the meat that you can't pretty much pull off, because it's going to be hard. We'll let you go with that, but you know what? You can't have fat anymore. Now, why is Allah Azza wa Jal punishing the Jews with fat? Is that there must be what? There must be some sort of goodness in the fat. It must be good for them in one way or another. And so animal fat is not responsible for disease. It is the hydrogenated fats that are to blame. Things like culprits like canola oil, like margarine, like corn oil, okay, as well as artificial additives in foods. This is what's going to cause disease. And as time is passing by, there's no much doubt that more and more scientific studies suggest that fat isn't as dangerous as we have been told, and that plaque buildup is the result of inflammation in the arteries. And so the real question is, what causes inflammation? What is it that causes inflammation? Well, one of the primary suspects, and we're hearing it a lot today, is sugar. Sugar. And so sugar has become a primary suspect in cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and obesity. And a study published in 2012 found that men who drank one sugar-sweetened beverage per day had a 20% greater chance of having a fatal heart attack compared with men who only occasionally drank sugary beverages. And the sugar-heart disease relationship holds true for women as well. So yes, sugar can be sweet, but too much can be a killer. And so we also know that when you have excessive sugar in your body, it weakens your immunity. We know that excess sugar feeds depression. We know that, subhanAllah, that sugar in this day and age has been masked in the ingredients. They'll say things like fructose syrup. And so we need to be mindful of the labels. Let's move on to milk. Milk, it's mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 66, He says, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةٍ نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهِ مِنْ بَيْنِ ثَرَثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. And indeed, for you in grazing livestock is a lesson. We give you drink from what is in their bellies, between excretion and blood, pure milk, palatable to the drinkers. And so, if you've been told that drinking raw milk is dangerous, you'll be surprised to know that perhaps you've been misled. And so, what is raw milk exactly? It's milk that comes from grass-fed cows. Grass-fed cows that is unpasteurized and unhomogenized. And this means that raw milk contains all of the natural enzymes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the milk. It contains the fatty acids. It contains the vitamins. It contains the minerals, making it what many refer to as complete food. Complete food. And you will have people out there that will actually try and turn us away from raw milk. And subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal, who revealed this ayah to be recited until the day of judgment in his book, does he not know what's going to happen through time and the passage of time? Yet he has a very clear verse here saying about the benefits of milk. And so we know that it reduces allergies. We know that it strengthens the immunity. It helps improve the skin health. It helps prevent nutrient deficiencies. And it can be used to make probiotic foods. And it doesn't contain added sugar or synthetic ingredients. And subhanAllah, what we learn about pasteurized milk is that it destroys many of the nutrients that make raw milk very beneficial. So why do they pasteurize it in the first place? Because it exposes the milk to very high temperatures. It kills off harmful bacteria and that are possibly able to make their way into the milk. However, as mentioned above or previously, it's very rare for these types of bacteria to be found in milk to begin with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And one of the best forms of milk is the camel milk. Is the camel milk. As we find in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, some people came to Medina and they fell sick. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them to drink the milk and the urine of the camels, and they recovered and they grew fat. And so camel's milk is also beneficial in treating hepatitis. Even if the hepatitis has reached an advanced stage where medicine is unable to treat it, it's good for management of diabetes, it boosts immunity, it helps stimulate proper growth and development of bones and organs, high in iron content, subhanAllah, ideal for preventing anemia, prevents autoimmune disorder, lowers the risk of heart attacks and strokes. So subhanAllah, there are many benefits that have been mentioned, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Now we move on to another very important healing. In the Quran, when Allah referred to shifa and he referred to healing, he referred to two things. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, Allah in his book only mentioned the Quran and honey as cures. The Quran being the cure of the hearts and honey being the cure of the body. I'm not going to talk about the benefits of honey right now. I'm going to leave this to one of the doctors, inshallah ta'ala. But what I do want to say, in case it's not covered, beware of where you purchase your honey. Beware of who you're buying your honey from. Yes, we know that there is Manuka honey, a very good source of honey. We know that there is Yemeni honey. But did you know that much of this honey has been tampered with? And so we have to be mindful of this and doing our due diligence, inshallah ta'ala. And so let's go for, organic honey to the best of our knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. Regarding nutrition, I just want to share a few things and perhaps the doctors will elaborate, inshallah ta'ala. Because our vegetables and our fruits have been depleted of much nutrients, if you know that you're not eating enough nutrients that contain the following vitamins and minerals, then you may want to be considering supplementation. And here I'm referring to five. Some of the B groups, the B complex, the B group vitamins, very, very important. Magnesium is responsible for over 250 bodily functions. Vitamin D3, and this is especially for our sisters who wear hijab, who are not in sunlight, between the best times to be in sunlight, which is 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And iodine is another very good one, an important one, especially when it comes to thyroid function. Another very important one is selenium. These, in my personal research, are vitamins and minerals that we want to check, inshallah ta'ala. And regarding detox, hijama. Because there is so much toxicity in the air, in the food, in the water. And subhanAllah, one very important thing. If you want to eat a lot of junk food, if you want to take in a lot of toxins, then make sure that you're taking a lot out. If you're not taking out more toxins than you're putting in, you're going to cause a problem in your body. So make sure you exercise. Make sure you sweat. Do hijama regularly. In Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, healing is to be found in three things: drinking honey, the knife of the kappa, hijama, and the cauterization of the fire, although the Prophet ﷺ did say to leave this as a very last resort. In Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I did not pass by any group on the night when I was taken on the night journey of Isra, but they said to me, the angel said to him, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell your ummah to do cupping. If you're scared of cupping, don't be scared. It's a very beautiful experience. In Tirmidhi, the best times, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best times to be treated with cupping are the 17th, 19th, and the 21st of each lunar month. They refer to them as the sunnah days. Although there is some talk about the hadith, but in general, these are the preferred days. Very quickly, another powerhouse is black seeds. Al-Habbatu al-Sawda or Habbatu al-Baraka. In Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in it there is healing for every disease except as-sam, except death. In Bukhari we read, Khalid ibn Sa'ad said, we went out and Ghalib ibn Abjar was with us and he fell sick. When we came to Medina, he was still sick. Ibn Abi Atiq visited him and said to us, you should use this little black seed. Take 5 or 7 of them and grind them, then mix it with olive oil and put drops in his nose on this side and on this side. For Aisha radiyallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told me that she heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, this black seed is a healing for every disease except death, or as-sam. So he said, what is sam? He said, death. So subhanAllah, even today, non-Muslims are packaging black seed oil, which is the, if you're going to get it as an oil, then you need to get it cold pressed, preferably organic. With the black seed, it's important to grind it. Don't just have it. Grind it so that your body absorbs it and it just doesn't come to pass. And if you can't do it grinded and you need to go for the oil, there is some difference of opinion about taking the oil, but inshallah ta'ala, it will have the same healing effects as the seed itself. And so subhanAllah, the non-Muslims are even labeling it and they are saying, and I've seen it in my own eyes, Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa hu, they say it cures everything except death. But they do not attribute it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In conclusion, my dear brothers, my dear sisters in Islam, may Allah bless you with outstanding health. A diet shouldn't be the mindset. It should be a lifestyle. And we need to start to do this collectively, as a family, as a community. Today, there are more hospitals, there are more doctors, there are more knowledge than ever, but there is more sickness than ever. Today, we have the highest rates of cancer, the highest rates of autoimmune heart disease, you name it, than any other time in a long, long time. There's something not right. And if we can make medicine, food our medicine, and medicine our food, and go for the halal, and go for the tayyib, then insha'Allah ta'ala, we will not find ourselves and our loved ones in this situation. And so we need to change our limiting beliefs. The diet and the lifestyle starts up here. Even if we have to think our way, even instead of thinking our way into a new lifestyle when it comes to eating and drinking, perhaps we should start acting our way into a new way of thinking. And so we can't continue to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That is insanity. Don't wait for the perfect condition. Don't say, I'm going to do it later, I'm not ready. And so if you wait for the perfect condition, you will not accomplish much in your life. Get comfortable with uncomfortable. The beginning is going to be hard. It's very hard to divorce coke. It's very hard to divorce a lot of these things, inshallah ta'ala. And so let's always remember that the pain of discipline outweighs the pain of regret, and that your biggest competition is not your friend who's looking amazing, or not this person or that person at the gym. It's you. You are your biggest competition. Tell yourself you can and you can do it. Tell yourself you can't and you won't be able to do it. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist you. And start with the little things, and they are the big things. Be consistent, and that's what it's about. Consistency, which is the most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't be so certain about your views, or this person's views, or that person's views, or their opinions. They may have got it wrong. You have maybe got it wrong. Never be so fixed. Be flexible and open to other ideas. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa jazakumullahu khayran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamualaikum. thank you for that inspiring talk there, Sheikh. Look, I was only going to go through being a pharmacist, the some of the benefits of the honey and the black seed that the Sheikh had already mentioned, and some other things. I'll be quick. I know we're running short of time, and everyone's hungry. So with the honey, yeah. One of the main things is, and the Sheikh touched on it, raw honey is very, very important. Now, a lot of the honeys you'll find in the supermarkets are treated or heated and filtered. And we know from the modern science now that heating honey basically gets rid of all of its benefits. So look for the raw honey, as the Sheikh said, organic as well. There is a lot of brands out there. You've got to be very, very careful. There's one brand that I know that I've seen another brother who's very into honey. He sent samples overseas to check what's inside it. And that's a brand called Watson's and Sons. It's a very good one from New Zealand. There's another one called Steen's. Look, do your research. You'll be able to find it. But the raw honey is very, very important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some of the hadith that the Sheikh mentioned, he used to drink the honey mixed with cold water. And the benefits of that is subhanAllah, so many years ago, 1500 years ago, now they know that heating the honey is no good. So putting in a hot drink is also no good. So if you're going to have the honey, have it straight out of the spoon, or if you're going to put it in your tea, put it when it's cooled down a little bit so you can get the full benefit from it. And that's something to remember. The raw honey, subhanAllah, has 22 amino acids in it, 27 minerals, and over 5,000 enzymes. So the benefits are amazing. There's magnesium, selenium, zinc, iron, all the things that the Sheikh mentioned that we should be maybe considering supplementing. All this is found in honey. And also vitamin B6 and vitamin B5 and thiamine and niacin, and all these things. So honey filled with antioxidants, it helps prevent heart disease, cancers, and strokes. Also used a lot now in helping mend wounds. So you can put it directly on burns and cuts and ulcers. And now they're using those in hospitals. So it's part of, modern medicine has caught up finally. Using these things in the hospitals. Well known and medically proven for cough. So, a teaspoon of the good stuff will help with the cough. They even make special lozenges now and cough mixtures with the honey inside it. So also with digestion. So, and anyone with diabetes, they can should consider using honey instead of sugar for any of their, you know, drinks or cooking or something like that. Also, it's a prebiotic, so it feeds the good bacteria in your stomach to grow and to help digestion. Also used for dermatitis. So again, many uses. Also, the Sheikh didn't mention olive oil. I'm going to mention a little bit about olive oil. And there is a hadith from Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, related from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, "Eat the zait and use it as an ointment, because it is produced by a blessed tree." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here was talking about the olive tree and the oil from the olive tree. And again, you know, we just to reiterate what the Sheikh was saying, the olive oil that we're talking about here is the cold pressed, the raw olive oil, not the one that's been played with and treated and tampered with that we sometimes find. So again, do your research when you're purchasing. And again, olive oil, just like honey, doesn't respond well to heating. All the good stuff breaks down once it's heated. So again, best to have the olive oil raw and fresh. And the benefits include, and well-known benefits, is a lowering of blood pressure, helping with the heart, lowering cholesterol, helps lower the blood sugar levels as well. And something really interesting is that the chemical structure of olive oil is the most similar to the skin's natural oil than any other naturally occurring oil. So this, of course, makes it an amazing moisturizer. All right. Doctor, I think I'll that's just wanted to give a couple of points there and then.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulina Muhammad. Inshallah, I'll round it up, okay? All so many information from the Sheikh and the brother Saeed. First of all, I would like to mention I'm here to share a few things, and also I'm here to take notes and, you know, learn from the Sheikh and the brother Saeed. Sheikh Bilal Danoon is well known. Many years ago, you might notice that about more than 10 years, being 15 years in this masjid, before it was renovated like this, we have a lot of lecture for youth. At that time, Sheikh Bilal Danoon is one of them, very active and teach. I still remember one of the ayah he taught us from Surah Ala, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Wim, Sanukuriyuka Falatansa Illa Masha Allah. That word he mentioned. And this is mentioned from Allah to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we will make you recite and you will not forget. Then mashallah, since that time, my mind, you know, blown out. And then I always remember every time I refer to Sheikh Bilal Danoon, mashallah. And then I will make dua that he will preserve him and allow him to deliver more lecture and talk to benefit us, inshallah, and me. And I'll so many information from that. I'll recite the ayah again. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhan nas qulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiban wa la tattabi'u khudwatish shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. And a few facts I'm trying to analyze this ayah, and then also what had been mentioned in all the knowledge that mentioned. And first of all, it mentioned halal, that Sheikh had already mentioned halal, that clear, and then non-halal is clear. And halal, you know, lawful way, non-lawful way, you cannot steal with that. And you know, there's something that you steal and then cheating, they are not halal again. Something like that, very basic one. We have to always look at the other side. Halal, so haram. And good, pure, we have to see the other side, impure, which is not good. So it applies everywhere. And the same thing that do not follow the footstep of shaitan. That means who do we follow? Just follow the salihin, that's like Sheikh, what he had teaching, so we follow them. So this, very short ayah give us a lot of insight, good side and the best side. We always, this is the way of Quran, that how Allah mentioned in the Quran, you see the opposite side. Like, Bismillah ar-Rahman, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. We all will be, every human will be in vain, all will be loser, except so with the other side. So the same thing, when we look at this, how do we apply this in our practice? I'll just give you one scenario. For example, I'm a practicing doctor, so if the person come to see me, please check out for me. I'm afraid that, people are getting stroke and heart attack. Please, check up for me. So what I will do? I'll ask question. First thing is we do ask question, and then we do investigation, see what is the risk factor. So do you know, you may not know, I'll just cut short. I want to do interactive, but time is very limited. So I assess whether he has smoking one of the risks, and he had diabetes, he had cholesterol or not. He had blood pressure, whether he's in activity, and then, obese, or some of the things we cannot correct, something like, old age, or family history. You might have a family history, this and that. So we gather all information, and we do all the tests. And then after that, we just start talking about everything. And each one have something, whether you had, each condition have reflect on this ayah, eat everything from the earth, which is pure, good, halal, and pure, good. So something that's not good for you, don't take it, that means. So for example, if somebody have high blood pressure, what is not good for you? So you need to know. So according to research, we all know, like salt. If you have eating a very salty food, your blood pressure will be high. And so something like that, not good for you, you avoid them. You only good the part that, low salt food. And then the same with diabetes. What is, high sugar, of course, it's not going to help you. So you have to be eating something that low sugar. The same thing, if you're inactive, what is your treatment? Very clear that Sheikh had already mentioned, we have to do a lot of exercise and then fasting and so many other things. The same thing that our cholesterol, we need to be reminded that, Sheikh had mentioned that the one that some of the fat, which are the worst than animal fat, we call it trans fat actually. Those fat, we need to be careful. And then they put it in so many foods, so we need to be a little bit careful about that. So inshallah, with the foods are plenty. If I have to give a quiz today, I can do a quiz that what kind of food that there are many mentioned in the Quran. I have counted so many, about 30 or 40 of them. Yeah. Including the all the fruit and vegetable and all the milk and animal, sheep, camel, cow, fish, so many of them. Subhanallah, our religion and our guidance from Allah is unlimited. Our health sign is very limited, actually. In the Quran, if you follow the Quran basic principle, you can not go wrong. And Sheikh already mentioned all the benefit, and like cholesterol, we still have debating now whether it's good or bad. So it started turning around that high cholesterol not too bad, it's not really bad, but we need to look at that high cholesterol. Cholesterol have two types: high density, low density. And then if you have high density, plenty, it doesn't matter. It was 6 or 7 or 8. If you have high density, double, triple. And, you won't get, the main idea is high density is a liquid fire, and then they're flowing in the blood. They're not heavy, so that they don't deposit in the blood vessel. A low density is the worst one. A trans fat, they come and they are very heavy, so that they deposit in the blood vessel, they eventually block the vessel. The same thing as sugar, causing inflammation of the vessel that Sheikh had mentioned, which is true, and then they'll narrow the blood vessel. So each one, although the foods are everything, even the halal food, but something that not good for you, you have to avoid. So inshallah, we'll round it up, and reading thing is, Allah had mentioned in the Quran, like, you know, one of the ayah that I like to add it on is أَوْضُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّرَانِ وَقُلُوا وَشَرَبُوا وَلَا تَصْرَفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ مُسْرِفِينَ. So we can eat, we can drink, but do not waste. So something that you waste, that you eat too much, and then you're unnecessarily, and then Allah never left those people. And then inshallah, our thanks, Sheikh Bilal Dhanoon and the brother Qadri, and for the all the insight, and inshallah, inshallah, subhanallah wa bihamdi, ashhadu la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayh.
Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair, Dr. Dawood. I'd like to thank our Sheikh Bilal Dhanoon, and also our brother Saeed. Now, alhamdulillah, we have another 10 minutes, so we'd like to open the floor for questions. Any question you have for our panelists, feel free to ask. We'll take from the brothers' section first. Any of the sisters have any questions, they can send them up, or you can put them on our Facebook page, Masjid al-Azhar. Any questions? Fadal, Sheikh Ahmed.
Just had a question regarding medicines that we get from pharmacies. Most of these medicines, they just artificial ingredients.
Yes.
That were combined to make those medicines. Yeah, what's your opinion on the pharmacists?
Look, that's an interesting question, obviously, conflict of interest here. But look, medicine, yes, most of them are, chemically made. I'm always of the opinion if you need it, you need it. If you've you've gone to the doctor and he's given you a prescription, then it's something that you should take. Now, in saying that, a lot of these other things we've mentioned, a lot of them can be viewed as like preventative things, and I think the Sheikh touched on that as well. Would I recommend you, just stop taking your diabetes medication and only take, something else? I'm sure the doctor, I don't know what his opinion on that is, but I'm pretty sure it'd be like, no, just, be careful. So I don't know. Did I answer that properly? Look, I would say, of course, if to take the medicine, you're not going to. There is, we do sell, the natural medicines as well, but these other chemical ones, there's a lot of tests that have been done on them to actually work, and normally they're only for a short period of time. For instance, antibiotics might be for a week or so or a few days. Some of the longer term medications, I'll be honest, I've seen people who have been on blood pressure medication, but they've done the hard work and they've lost weight and they've exercised regularly and they're off their medication. So, of course, there is a way to get off medication, but you've got to do the hard work for it. And the same with weight loss. If you want to take weight loss medication, you want to stop it, you need to do the work. As Sheikh said, you've got to get mobile, you've got to change your lifestyle. And this is true for cholesterol, blood pressure, and diabetes, for a lot of the chronic illnesses. It's possible not to take medication. So, but if you have to take them because the other parts of your lifestyle aren't being met, then it's a way out.
Just a kind
Can I just add something? Yeah. Do you mind? I think another very important message is that with the medical system, and I know from my own experience of having visited GPs in the past, is that the focus is more on the symptoms than the cause. And I think as knowledgeable Muslims, insha'Allah ta'ala, we should be now focusing on the cause and not so much the symptoms. Prevention is better than cure. And I believe, to begin with, every person should become their own doctor. But when I say that with a little bit of course, yani conditions. But do your own due diligence. So personally, I personally would really like not go anywhere near synthetic medicine unless I have done my absolute level best and I've consulted every naturopath, gone down every video possible to try and avoid that. I would personally not go down that path unless I have to. So for example, there are natural antibiotics. So for example, one of the most powerful antibiotics is oregano oil. Oregano oil is very, very powerful. When I go to Umrah or go to, you know, when I travel, I take about 6 drops of oregano oil in a veggie capsule every day to strengthen my immunity. Alhamdulillah, it's done me a lot of wonders. I'm just sharing this hack with you. Okay, so let's focus on the prevention. Let's leave the synthetic medications as a very last resort, going for the tayyib, going for that which is good for you. And if you are going to take antibiotics, this is just my humble opinion, then make sure you follow it up with a probiotic, because antibiotics do not differentiate between good and bad bacteria. They will just cause a mess. I mean, they'll clear up the bad, but they'll also clear off the good. So incorporate a probiotic, and I'm happy to be, for the doctor to tell me otherwise. Did you want to add anything, doctor? Or?
Yes, I will just, the natural way, the prevention, what I have mentioned before the patient come to me, all I'm throwing is prevention. I will not, advising to take medicine. I will only advise them to eat all the food that which are helpful and organic, and then do exercise. For example, I'm also study a little bit of Chinese medicine. In Chinese medicine, they have a very big topics on the food. One subject is the food, and they divide it into what are called neutral. One group, all the foods are neutral. You can eat as much as you like. But one group is cold, and one could, causing cold, and the other one was excessive cold. And then another, on the opposite side is one group of all the foods are warm, and then when you need it, you can eat those. And then extreme group is is very heat, hot, very hot. So you need to eat them according to the the season and according to your need. And if you eat round food, too cold, too hot, you get imbalance in your body and then causing the problem in the immunity. So balanced food is very important. You have to look at the condition, and when you're traveling, what you need to eat, and this and that, and the Chinese medicine advice. I don't go very deep into that because I'm not the expert in that Chinese food area, but I know if you need anything else, I can get some translated version of the Chinese food category. But the same thing in the medicine as well. In Chinese medicine, the neutral, cold, too cold, and warm, and too hot. So they use the medicine accordingly to cure people. But the food, when you eat the good food, your balance, and when your body is balanced, the immune system automatically raise up. So you need to, see the balance, inshallah.
Sheikh Bilal, we have 2 or 3 minutes. You just want to wrap up, final words?
No other questions, or maybe there's a question or two? No? No more questions? Yes, brother? Yes, yes. As a supplementation? Okay, so when it comes to the supplementation, Personally, I would, if you, these supplements would come in certain capsules, so you want to make sure that the capsules are veggie caps, for example, that the company itself is reputable. So you might want to have to speak to people who are very well versed in understanding supplementation and who are the players that are doing this. So there are different companies. Okay, so personally, like I said, you know, be it like with the magnesium, for example, I would go for a magnesium spray, and that magnesium spray, there's one by Ancient Minerals, and you can actually just spray beneath before you go to sleep. You actually spray beneath your feet, and your feet are actually sponges. Your skin is a sponge. And your, whatever you put on your skin is absorbed into your body. So before you go to sleep, just a few sprays of the magnesium will help you absorb that. Another one is zinc, very important. Iodine is very important. Some of the Bs, so maybe you do a B complex, very important. D3, for those of you not getting D. So D3, for example, is very, very important for our not being so... A lot of people, they even say that D3 and magnesium are very important for people who have very depressive symptoms. So in any case, it's really important to just find out which ones we're not getting much from our food, and we'll go from there, inshallah. If there's no other questions... no other questions, insha'Allah ta'ala. We will wrap it up, insha'Allah ta'ala. And once again, I just wanted to reiterate that it is important that we do go for the halal, that we don't only focus on the halal. And I think our focus for a long time has been on the halal, but we also do focus on the tayyib. And I just want to share with you all, in conclusion, I want to share with you a platform that I have been working on personally with a dedicated team of Muslims in Australia, professionals and experts. I've noticed that we are not as united as I believe we should be as Muslims. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we've got together to perform to create an online platform which we have called Dalil. Dalil means evidence. Dalil means guidance. And so what Dalil is about, it's actually not just a directory, but that's a part of it. Dalil is a directory of masjids, of Islamic organizations, of halal restaurants, of tradies, of professionals. And the good news is you can add your own. And so instead of us going here and there, we actually go to each other to strengthen one another. And this is something that we see in the Jewish community, that they work with each other. And I believe as Muslims, we have so many professionals, we have so many good, honest Muslims who are giving sadaqah, who are giving their zakat, and I would like to benefit them. So not only is Dalil about a directory, but it's also a platform where all the events in Australia will be on one platform. So you can actually look up events for the youth, for yourselves, for health, seminars, whatever is happening. You can even advertise, and it will all be on one platform. You no longer have to be subscribed to 100 organizations and to here and there. You come to one platform and you will know what's happening in your community anywhere in Australia. Dalil is about having also memberships. And that is by virtue of there'll be Dalil membership rolling out. What that means is that you're entitled to discounts and a loyalty system where you can get discounts from your Muslim brothers and sisters. And the beautiful thing about Dalil, they're free listings, there are premium listings, and the revenue from Dalil, part of that, a percentage of that, is going towards sadaqah, and it's going towards awqaf, and it's going towards charities. So that is being launched on the 7th of April. It's called dalil.com.au. There is a pamphlet as you leave, inshallah ta'ala, and this is something that I am personally the founder of and the director of, and that inshallah ta'ala, I want to make our community, the Australian Muslim community, one of the strongest communities in Australia and eventually inshallah around the world, because I believe we have a lot of potential and we can really make some serious noise and do a lot of contribution. There'll be some articles about health, about relationships, beautifully curated articles. So let's get behind this initiative, inshallah, and let's spread the word and let's strengthen our community. Jazakallahu khairan. to our host, Masjid Al-Azhar, Jazakum Allahu Khairan, to Sheikh Zuhair, to Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman, to the team of Al-Azhar Masjid, Ahlul Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. Always a delight to be here. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that it's a blessing that we have such a beautiful community. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Jazakum Allahu Khairan, wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah.